Hey, I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing news for 30 years in two languages all over the world and here in the United States, interviewed four presidents, worked at four of the U.S.'s major television networks, and been fired by a bunch. I believe news should be honest and direct and impactful. And this is Direct Impact. So, Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, suddenly all over the news. His anger made headlines when he criticized Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for not bothering to show up for a meeting with him. Lula, as he's come to be known, says he waited and waited and waited, and Zelensky simply just never showed up.
Eles marcaram uma agenda com Zelensky às 15:15. Às 15:15, nós recebemos o recado de que o Zelensky estava atrasado. E eu atendi o presidente do Vietnã. Demorou quase uma hora o atendimento do presidente do Vietnã. E nesse aspecto, o Zelensky não veio.
This is not a good look for Mr. Zelensky, who seems to represent what has become the Western mentality, really, of treating Latin American and Latin America itself like an inferior stepchild. For example, Zelensky has seemed ready and willing at all times to meet with any and all Western leaders, especially the ones who come with money and or weapons. But when a prominent Latin American leader, a Latino, wants to meet with him to discuss a peace proposal, he doesn't show up. Why? That took place, by the way, or didn't, really, I guess, at the G7 summit in Japan. But since then, Lula has been on a rampage with all kinds of stuff. He's pushing for a new order in Latin America, or as he puts it, reaching out to those the West can't stand. Think about that. He's reaching out to those the West can't stand. His words. And he's doing so by criticizing the supremacy of the U.S. dollar, I mean, out in public, traveling to China to meet with Xi Jinping, hosting Russia's foreign minister. But it's what Lula is doing to unite Latin America that has part of the world impressed and another part of the world perturbed. For starters, Lula wants to push out the U.S. dollar by creating that Latin American currency. He made the recommendations after inviting the region's presidents to meet in Brazil for the first regional summit in 9 years. The question is, can Latin America assert itself? Can it unite? Can it find its identity? Alas, after historic waves in the past of swinging to the right and then swinging to the left and now apparently moving back more toward kind of the left. By the way, in that vein, the Brasilia summit began with controversy when Lula embraced leftist Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. And that caused several leaders, including Uruguay's more right-of-center President Luis Lacalle Pou and Chile's left-of-center President Gabriel Boric, to criticize the embrace and to criticize Maduro directly.
La verdad, nos alegra que Venezuela retorne a las instancias multilaterales, porque creemos que en estos espacios es donde se resuelven los problemas y no con declaraciones en donde solamente nos atacamos los unos a los otros. Eso, sin embargo, no puede significar meter debajo de la alfombra o hacer la vista gorda frente a temas que para nosotros son de principios e importantes. Y ahí yo manifesté respetuosamente que tenía una discrepancia con lo que señaló el presidente Lula el día de ayer.
So yes, there is once again a move toward the ideological left in Latin America. The defeat of the coup government in Bolivia, the election of Xiomara Castro in Honduras, the rise of Andrés Manuel López Obrador in Mexico, the historic election of Gustavo Petro in Colombia, and now the return of Lula in Brazil suggests a new pink tide is dawning. But is this really about ideology? Is it really about ideology? Or is there more to this than that? Because that's what you're going to read in a lot of the newspaper headlines. Here's the point. Here's the point. Latin America seems to be more about unity and integration these days than it is about who's a lefty and who's a righty. What they seem to be more interested in is moving away from a dependency on the United States. Why?
Well, because 200 years of Monroe Doctrine has gotten them very little in return, and it may be time to look elsewhere. And that is why this new integration or this move toward unity and cooperation in Latin America is different from the former OAS model or even the more recent UNASUR model, one from the right, one from the left. Why? Because it may be less about left and right, and maybe should be less about left and right, and more about what's practical. In other words, what Lula and other Latin American leaders seem to be looking for are alliances, and not just any alliances. What they want are relationships based on mutual respect, relationships with all countries, including the big ones, Russia, China, the U.S., Iran, Spain, India, among others. Here's a problem for some of those countries. Like elephants, many in Latin America never forget. You know what they say about elephants never forgetting, right? They're not going to forget their Spanish roots, which is tied to their language and the music and the culture in general, mine. However, it's also tied to the slaughter and abuse of its indigenous population. Not to mention the average young Latino American is much more apt these days to listen to reggaeton and hang out in a multicultural or multiracial setting than identify with a country that is still represented by this. I mean, look at this picture. Do you think this is Americans want to identify with? Queen Leticia of Spain, 47, looking regal in a recycled gown by Carolina Herrera for gala portraits, with King Felipe taking at the Zarzuela Palace in Madrid as the royal family releases their new official portraits. That's not exactly a good match. Latin American millennials don't exactly look at that and say, ah, yes, that's me. And then there's the U.S. You know, it's hard for Latino Americans to forget the Allende incident, where the CIA removed a president they simply didn't like, or the more than 100,000 who've died in Guatemala simply because the president there suggested land reforms, or what the U.S. did in Colombia or Argentina, or the assassination attempts in Cuba, or even more recently the coups or coup attempts in Venezuela and Bolivia and Ecuador. So maybe for Latin American leaders, it's not about being izquierdistas, a lefty, or derechistas, a righty. It's more about being practical. It's more about discerning when it comes to choosing with whom to partner. And then there's the countries that they may have traditionally not known, maybe even feared, or just been unfamiliar with. Countries like Russia, China, India, and others who are now engaging in Latin America and seem, at least in some measure, to be making positive impressions. And joining us now to talk about this is Esteban Carrillo. He's an Ecuadorian journalist who's really covered stories all over the world, but he's particularly keen on Latin America. Let me start by asking you this, Esteban. What do you think of this interview or this meeting that Lula was supposed to recently have with Mr. Zelensky of Ukraine, and Mr. Zelensky never even showed up? He just didn't show up. What does that say? What does it tell you?
Well, it says to me that they understand, the West, and Zelensky in particular, he understands that he's not going to get much from Lula. Lula currently is standing, he's leading the way, in a way, to this new multipolar world that we are witnessing form in front of our very eyes. So, of course, Zelensky would stand him up. Of course, Zelensky would play that card. You know, why talk to him? What is even the point anymore? They've tried to coerce Latin American states.
I think of it, I see it a little differently than you do. And maybe I'm wrong and you're correct. But maybe it's because I'm very sensitive, because I am a Latino American, right? And I've grown up in a world that always has seen me and the continent that I come from as an inferior stepchild. We just don't matter to most of these big countries along the West. And I think Zelensky feels like he's not, you know, Latin America's not worthy for him. I mean, he's getting his butt kissed by Great Britain, the United States. Every country in the world is coming to pay him homage. Why would he meet with a Latin American country? That's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
I see your point. And if this was a few years ago, I would completely agree with you But now I feel things have changed, and I feel because you know, Ukraine, the situation with the weapons over there, with, like, you know, the West basically depleting their arsenals just to just so that the Ukrainians can keep up the fight. That just, you know, it shows you that that is not going the way they want it to go. They need the help of the other countries. They need the help of the global South. But they're not getting it anymore. They're not getting it, and they won't get it.
Well, the only reason I mention that is not so much to talk about Ukraine, but I'm particularly interested in how Latin America reasserts itself, because I feel like Latin America is trying to reassert itself right now, find its identity. And what is its identity? Because it seems like we've been playing this game for two decades in Latin America, where Latin America's to the left, Latin America's to the right, Latin America's to the left. And after a while, it just seems stupid. It's like the only thing that anybody ever talks about. The only story that comes out of Latin America is always, is it to the left or is it to the right? Let me check. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand completely where you're coming from, you know? And I think that is the belief, but that's the belief among the people who pay attention, you know? I think if you ask anyone in the U.S. what is Latin America, I mean, sadly, the answer is going to be, is our backyard. It's the place that does what we tell them to do. And that has been the history of Latin America for too long. And now we're seeing a change. We're seeing a change in that. And it is at a time when the leftists are coming to power. Although I think it goes beyond that. I don't agree with you. I do think it goes beyond just, you know, left and right. I think this is a question of north and south.
Well, that's interesting, because what I believe is happening is that it has, tell me if I'm wrong, but for Latin America to find itself, it has to worry less about its political ideology and more about the relationships that it forges. Because it seems to me that for the past 200 years, it really has only had two fundamental relationships, Spain and the United States. That's it.
True, true. And now, but now we're seeing China, you know, China has such a strong presence. Maybe a few years ago, it had a stronger presence than it does now in actuality, but China has been expanding everywhere. And again, to go back to Lula, to go back to Brazil, we're seeing it with BRICS, We're seeing it with the New Development Bank. We're seeing these alliances not so much form as consolidate, as gain weight. And, you know, Latin America is a huge part of that. Just last month, the Southcom commander, she was saying that she was lamenting how much, you know, undue influence from more adversaries there is in Latin America, in particular in what she called the lithium triangle, you know, which is Chile, Bolivia, and I believe Argentina or Paraguay. I may be mistaken. But she just said it, you know, she said it outright. We don't know what our adversaries are doing here. And this is such an important region because they hold 60% of the world's lithium. So, of course, you know, they cannot lose it. They cannot lose the grip in this region. But they are, because this is what is happening across the world. It's not just Latin America. You're seeing it in Southeast Asia. We're seeing it across the Arab world. We're seeing it in Asia in general. It's just, it's unstoppable.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's do this. I want to take a break, and I want to come back, and I want to ask you a little bit about something that is guttural. Something that's in the soul of Latin Americans. And many of us grew up with that word comunista and, you know, anti-religión y anti-estado, yeah, whatever, you know. And there's these stigmas that we still have in our mind that we have to get over. Because even though we hate what the United States has done in our hemisphere, in our continent, we also still look at the United States like the ones that are different and supposed to be more correct. And when we see China and Russia, we still in our minds look back to what they used to be and what's in our heads. Can we overcome that? Can China and Russia overcome that? Or can the people in Latin America grown up now, they don't even care anymore. They just want somebody who's going to do a good deal for them. We're going to talk about this when we come back with Esteban Carrillo, Ecuadorian journalist.
Мали бросила открытый вызов французскому неоколониализму. Donc maintenant, nous, on a pensé qu'il faut, il faut faire appel à la Russie. Nous, ce qui est fédéral, c'est d'abord, il n'a pas mal dit, d'abord, d'abord, vote.
Да здравствует дружба между Советским Союзом и Республикой Мали.
Самая главная причина снижения влияния европейцев в Африке – это выход Китая. Китайско-российское влияние растет.
Битва за Африку, она существенно интенсифицировалась после начала российско-западной гибридной войны. Но началась эта битва за Африку, конечно, раньше.
Now, in our In Case You Missed It file, we couldn't help but notice that not too long ago, Ukraine sent a new ambassador to Brazil. First, the follow-up. As we have reported here previously, President Zelensky failed to show up for a meeting with Brazil's President Lula da Silva, as we mentioned earlier, and seemed to be disinterested in hearing his peace plan ideas. Lula, as we mentioned, did not take the sitting down, and he lashed out at Zelensky for dissing him, right? Well, recently, Zelensky had to name a new ambassador to Brazil. Guess who he picked? This is kind of interesting. He chose a dude named Andriy Melnyk, who used to be Ukraine's envoy to Germany. Why is his appointment noteworthy, you ask? Well, because during his time in Berlin, Melnyk hurled some angry tirades that cost him his job. In May of 2022, he labeled German Chancellor Olaf Scholz an offended liver sausage for not visiting Kiev. And then he went on to Twitter and told Elon Musk to F off for suggesting a peace plan with Russia. Doesn't sound so diplomatic, does it? Anyway, this is going to be an interesting pairing, don't you think? Lula, Melnyk. Now let's get back to our interview.
So we're back with Esteban Carrillo to talk about this. And by the way, we apologize for the connection with Esteban. It's a little fuzzy. He's coming to us today because he's in Lebanon and not exactly the best technical setup there. But it's more important to be able to understand what you have to say, because you are such an experienced journalist and you know a lot about this particular topic. So let's go back to that real quick, because I've been thinking about, I'm a Latino American, and I think there may be a lot of people like me out there that when they think of Russia and China, the first thing they think about is, you know, comunista. And they were told that if you're a part of that system or Russia, they don't believe in God and they'll take your children away. You know, all those myths that are out there. How much will that interfere in Latin America's relationship to forge these relationships with countries like China and Russia and Iran and India and whoever that seems maybe a little more foreign to them? Esteban.
Yes. Well, Rick, yes. I think, well, first to answer your question, you know, like I think we need to highlight that I don't think China can truly be considered a communist state. You know, it has a is capitalism with Chinese characteristics, and the same is with Russia. Russia is the farthest thing from communism, you know. This is from how long ago? This is more than a century ago that this is the fear mongering has been ongoing. But I think that sadly in Latin America we're still a people that are very misled by our media, by our politicians. You know, there is a narrative that exists, you know, and of course, like you said before the break, the United States has always, in our region, always been, you know, the place that you need to be, the place, you know, that you need to become. And, well, you know, that may have its merits, may not. But I think that misses the point, you know, because it becomes just like a monolithic way of thinking. And you don't see anything else. You just see the one thing that is being just shoved down your throat every single day. And now to bring in China, to bring in Russia, I think it's going to be less difficult, especially now in our modern era, you know, where we live, where everybody has Netflix, where everybody has TikTok, you know, Like we are more connected than ever, and that means not just to the US, that means to the East as well, you know. And like we see China going into media so hard now, the same is happening everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, don't take this the wrong way, but you're an intellectual, so you're very caught up. I wasn't talking about reality, I was talking about perception. And I get your point. And by the way, I think, and I made note of this in my intro, I think there's a youth movement in Latin America. Latin America is being led by a very young population, unlike, by the way, the United States and China and Russia. And those folks have less, I would believe, you tell me, because you're the expert, I would believe that young Latin Americans have less of a tendency to think that way, to have old thoughts. For example, when they see Spain, they probably laugh at these pictures of this king and this queen with their royalty and their crowns and all this crap. It's like, who the hell are you, right? I mean, there's a disconnect between young Latinos today and both the United States and Spain, for example, or any other of those European countries.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you completely. You know, this is a completely new generation. This is the globalized generation. This is a... We don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's very difficult to predict it. But the only thing I will predict is that we're no longer going to live under a single system, you know, under a single the U.S. system. And yes, like our young people will be more ready to accept. They will be more welcoming of all of this. And also, you cannot forget that Latin America, the goal is not just to be, you know, like be able to be friends with Russia or be able to be friends with China. It's to become ourselves into an own, you know, economic, energy, productive power, you know, like the EU. Why did the EU was formed? Why can't we form an alliance like that? We have so many resources, just to go back to the lithium that I was talking about.
Tell me why Lula is or is not the right person to help forge the new identity of Latin America.
I think Lula is... what a diplomat is supposed to be. He is a man that he can sit at a table with anyone to discuss anything. He has shown it before. He is a man that twice has gone to jail for his beliefs. He is a man that went the most recently, you know, he's lost his wife in jail. He may have so many losses over the past years, and he still came back. He still came back to power to Brazil. And the first thing he did, he said, Brazil is back. Brazil is back. And we are going to take our spot because we are the biggest economy in Latin America. And we are, you know, part of BRICS, and we are going to develop a new currency. Lula is a diplomat. Lula, you know, when you asked me at the beginning, why didn't Zelensky sit with him? That speaks tons about Zelensky. You know, what type of man he is, that he only wants to get compliments. He doesn't want to have a conversation. You know, so of course, I think in my own personal belief, I think Lula is the perfect person to push this forward, because he not only understands the necessity, he understands how the process needs to be conducted. And he has a goal, and his goal is for South America to be capable of conducting deals in a common currency, to be capable to not be subservient to anyone, not even Russia, not even China. We welcome them. We will welcome them. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to bow down to them. We're going to work. We're going to have a respectful relationship, but that has to be it. And that's why I think Lula is the perfect person to do this, because he's showing it. He's shown it before, and he's going to, hopefully for as long as he lives, he's going to continue to show this drive for change that benefits everyone, not just the people that believe what he believes, or not just the people that, you know, his inner circle.
Do you think the problem in the past was that Latin Americans who tried to lead that new way, that new identity, as we're calling it, were always either scapegoated as a lefty or a righty or too tied to one side or the other? Or maybe I should ask you the question this way. What is Lula doing now that wasn't done in the past? Why didn't somebody come along 10 years ago and do and say the things that Lula is now saying and doing? Or did they, and we just missed it?
I think we were doing it. They were doing it. You know, like when UNASUR was formed, I think under Chavez, we saw a lot of changes like this in Latin America. They weren't followed through. They weren't followed through for many reasons. You know, this is not just the fault of of a single evil entity. This is mistakes that were made along the way. And now these programs were abandoned, and now they're being, trying to be reformed, revived. But the difference now, what the real difference now is, and I need to go back to BRICS, is the size of the economy of these countries, you know? Like, I was seeing a report recently that shows that BRICS, their GDP is larger than the G7. You know, the G7 that's been held for so long as this, like, you know, like the exclusive little club. This group of five global South nations now have a bigger GDP than them.
But do you think, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but this thought came to my head and I just have to say it because you just did a comparison between Lula and the other two Latin American leaders from the past that you mentioned, I think, were Chavez. And it came to mind that since Chavez is kind of a takeoff on Fidel Castro. So in the past, you had Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez as the de facto leaders of the identity of Latin America. And I think, and I'll just talk to you as an American Latino, and I know that makes you and I different, both of them had serious credibility problems, almost because they were too far to one side. Is Lula not also faced with that same problem? Is he not too far to one? What makes Lula different?
Well, I think Lula is different. I think Lula stands on a different platform. He has the same beliefs. He stands for the same beliefs as Fidel and as Chavez did. But Lula, from his first term in office, he never consolidated power around himself. He always had, you know, a plural government. He tried to work with everyone, you know, and sometimes that was to his own detriment, but he did it. And now we're seeing it the same. Like I said, Russia is not a communist country. China is not a communist country. You know, this is not about political ideology anymore. This is about working together. This is about respect among sovereign nations. And that's something that Lula holds to heart. And yes, Chavez did it too, and Fidel did it too. They expressed it in different ways. They built their systems in different ways, but Lula did not. And Lula, I don't even think it's possible in Brazil, because in Brazil, there is also a very, 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 very strong anti-communist sentiment, as you saw when the Bolsonaristas tried to take over the presidential, well, not try, they did take over, you know? So we saw it. Look, you know, this is not a country that this is going to happen easily, you know? This is... So I think that's what makes them stand different, in particular, Lula.
Well said, my friend. Esteban Carrillo, Ecuadorian journalist. Delightful conversation about the future of one of the most important regions in the world that's never, ever really been treated that way, nonetheless. Thank you again. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Rick. Nice to be seeing you.
Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission. It's simple, really. De-silo the world a little bit, right? Stop living in these little boxes where one side never talks to the other side or hears any other opinions but what they want to hear. Truths don't live in boxes. Truths don't live in boxes. They're everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where we hope to provide a direct impact.